We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome in to an emergency edition of the CHGO Bears podcast. You know the news as I'm talking about it with a big smile on my face as Jalen Johnson gets his extension. Mark Carmen, Greg Braggs, Brad Spielberger from Pro Football Focus. Hogue's going to be here in a matter of moments. Jalen Johnson in the fold. 4 years, $76 million deal. 43.8 guaranteed at signing. Jalen's going to make $28 million in the first year of the deal. I've been sitting here for weeks along with many other people. Sign good players. Sign your young players. Jalen's 24. You can only, yes, you got your number, but hey, get it done. But it seems like with the numbers here, and Brad's good to see you. And Brad, thanks so much for being here. It seems like Poles got his cake and he got to eat it too here. This is not a reset of the market. This is a good deal for Jalen. It's a good deal for the Bears. But Brad, your reaction to the numbers when they're finally official here, it seems like Ryan Poles gets a W on this in many ways.
Yeah, there's a million different ways to break it down. Obviously, if you were going to look at, I do think we can talk about how it is a Bears win in a lot of ways. You could also probably push back and say, was there a cheaper price at the trade deadline or earlier that they could have got it done? But I think if you look at the vacuum of just, okay, he makes the Pro Bowl, gets all pro honors, and now we're operating in that vacuum, I do think you can make that case. We know the big push from Jalen's side. A lot of the top contracts at this position have been five-year deals. You mentioned Jalen's only 24. It gets a four-year deal, so a huge push there. Like outside of Jair Alexander, your Marshawn Lattimore's, your Jalen Ramsey's, your Marlon Humphrey's, all those guys sign a five-year deal. So that's a win for Jalen. Everything else, though, the full guarantee is strong, but if that's the cash flow over 2 years, it would be not even top five among cornerbacks. If it is 44 mil over 2 years, we know he gets 60 over three. That's also strong, but not incredibly strong at this market. And then lastly, you have to inflation adjust all of these contracts. So if we were to say, all right, $19 million APY on a $255 million salary cap, it's about 7.5% of the cap. So all I'm doing is taking 19 out of 255. That number is in the second tier. Like that is Carlton Davis APY as percent of the cap money. It's around 10% for when Jalen Ramsey signed, when Marshawn Lattimore signed, etc. So yeah, the Bears did well here and protected themselves, but Jalen also did get this. The structure is strong in a lot of ways for Jalen too.
Did the franchise tag that the Bears put on him a few days ago to provide any leverage for Chicago in this instance? Because I'm just surprised that this quickly after the franchise tag that a deal was made.
Yeah, so I've been tweeting a bunch about it, that it's unfortunately the tag is supposed to be a placeholder to get a deal done. It's not always used in that way. It's about 38% of the time over the last decade does a team actually get a deal done. This looks like a scenario where And I know we chatted in Indy. I'd heard it was there was a lot of good conversations and things were progressing nicely. Obviously, they couldn't get it done before March 5th, you know, the tag deadline a couple days ago. But I'm not shocked. This looked like a true placeholder. They were very, very close on a couple different metrics. And then now they're able to get to the finish line. But I think it was leverage because it's not that often we see a guy sign where his average annual value is lower than the tag. It's not a bright line rule. I think some people say that like it's a given thing. Not always. But for a 24-year-old player that it's coming off an all-pro season, it is pretty surprising. So, yeah, I think to a degree, look, Jalen's awesome. I think the shoulder injury, which happened at the end of this past season, they probably sit there saying, you know what, this is a pretty good offer. This is, you know, this money changes my great-great-grandkids' lives. Let's just go ahead and take it.
So, Brett, if you were Jalen's agent and this deal was put in front of you, would you have told Jalen to sign it?
I think at this point, yes. And again, what I'd heard throughout the entire conversation process was, you know, like they were trying to reset the market. And frankly, they should have tried. They deserve to ask for that. This is a stagnant market that has not grown in recent years. Like I said, if we're talking 10% of the cap, which is what a lot of those deals were right around, that'd be $25 million a year. And we're still not there at all. And even having some guys get cut now, and you see Tre'Davious White, who was a little bit below, but had an incredibly strong guarantee structure. Yes, if I'm now, I'm asking to reset the market. I do think at a certain point, though, like I said, you're now getting, you know, very strong, fully guaranteed. $28 million in first-year cash flow is phenomenal for them as well. And the cash, the earlier cash flows is really what matters at the end of the day. So, yes, I would have, but I would have driven a hard bargain and asked for reset, market resetting money too.
Let's bring in Adam Hoga, who I believe is ready to join us as well from his palatial estate. No, we just lost Hoga, so maybe he's not. Go ahead, Braggs, ask your question, then we'll bring him in.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so it definitely seems like in terms of contracts, Ryan Poles has a type. He likes to front load his contracts and get that money in there early. How much does that affect the cap for this year and how much they have to spend on other free agents here in the next week or so?
Yeah, so I'm assuming the salary cap hit in 2024 will be lower than $19.8 million. But what we've seen from them on both extensions and the free agent deals is actually pretty flat structures. Like Cole Kmet's deal is the flattest contract like in the entire NFL. I think he has the same exact cap hit the next 4 years in a row. So and the cash flows are also built in a similar manner. So they understand they have a lot of cap space right now, and they obviously didn't spend a lot of money for a couple of years. They did last year. I remember we talked about the whole salary cap floor and all those things, you know, dating back to last offseason. They recognize, why would we, you know, backward inflate these deals and push money down the line? Let's spend it now. And I think it is a smart approach, but I will say, maybe it's not his preferred option all the time, and it's just the current context of the roster. You're probably being in a rookie contract quarterback. Why not do that now? And then if you have to turn over this roster in 2-3 years, you don't have these massive dead cap hits or these inflated balloon salaries too. And it makes it easier to keep guys on the roster. If a guy's salary doesn't go from, you know, 10 mil, 15, 20, 25, and instead is just 19 the whole time, it makes a lot of things easier.
So there's Adam Hoge jumping in, Nicholas Moriano jumping in too. So it's full force here on Jalen Johnson Extension Day. Guys, everybody's here. The Duke's here, $249.99. Thank you, Bills and Broncos, for cutting your quarterbacks as cap casualties. I'm betting having to face a non-XL tag market where he needs to get paid and get a team to give the Bears two first-rounders with those cornerbacks also on the market pushed him back to the table. Adam, start with you. Nick, get in here. What's your reaction? Talk to Brad too. A lot going on here.
Yeah, no, I mean, let's keep it going with Brad here since he's on with us. Appreciate you jumping on a short notice, Brad, with this breaking news. Since I'm jumping on here a couple seconds late and I'm sure some of our listeners are kind of filing in here late as well. I apologize if this was already addressed with you, but it seems like this was close to the finish line already. And this is not how usually franchise tags go. Usually it's like, okay, we got here, it's the deadline. And then there's silence for a couple months until maybe someone holds out of camp. So just, I guess refresh us up on how you think this went. And I don't know if we say someone won, but maybe what was the issue here to get us across the finish line?
Yeah, so I think it was really, really close to getting done going into Indianapolis. I think that the two sides, and obviously Ryan Poles had his press conference. I want to say that was Tuesday in Indianapolis, where he, you know, made it seem like they were progressing very well. He felt confident about it. But there were some things he said that I think were, I don't know, kind of like the ball's in their court or something like that. I don't want to misquote him. But and I think the Bears felt they'd made a very, very strong offer, a fair offer, a good deal for the player, and they thought they were going to get an agreement. Obviously, they couldn't get that done. They have to place the tag. But I think it was already very, very close. And so my guess is the Bears were going to refuse to reset the market, and they were going to refuse, I guess, maybe even go to 20 because Jalen pushed for a four-year deal. I mentioned that top of the show. That, I think, is the biggest thing for me is Jalen has a legitimate chance to now get back to the market, whether it's an extension at 27. Legarius needs 27 right now, or you know, get a new deal at 28. That's the huge win from his side at a position that can fall off pretty quickly. I mentioned, besides Jair Alexander, excuse me, like almost every other top deal, the position is a five-year deal. So I think when Chicago got there, they said, okay, well, then we're not going to get to $20 million, and we're not going to top ABCXYZ. And they had to kind of just figure out the middle ground between shorter deal and less money overall, but how strong can it be structurally, guarantee-wise, cash flow-wise, and now they're here.
Brad, with the 54.4 million guaranteed, I don't know if you guys are interested, but where does that stack up now in terms of all the other cornerbacks? And was that also probably one of the difference makers here that, you know, maybe led to this deal actually happening?
Yeah. So it's said to be sixth among corners because technically Tre'Davious White is still on the Buffalo Bills. And like, there's a good example of how strong his contract was. He signed a 4-year, $69 million deal, but it had more in total guarantees than this deal does. But from a full guarantee standpoint, you then look at that, and Jalen Johnson gets $43.8 million, whereas Tre'Davious White had $36.7 million. So I was talking again in the beginning of the show. It's like just outside the top five in a bunch of metrics, which is why I think you could argue the Bears did very well here. And again, compared to midseason, maybe they're sitting there being like, ah, we should have paid them $16-17 million. That's not the reality we're in now. So under that construct, I do think that structure-wise and everything – Jalen did well, but the Bears did well, too.
Impact on the cap, Brad, this year, if they hadn't extended him, they had just stuck with the tag. Is there a big difference for this particular season?
I would bet it goes from 19.8 down to like 15. Like, I don't think it's going to be a massive difference in the first year cap hit.
Okay. Interesting. And didn't this average annual value come in lower than what the tag was?
Yes, which is interesting, yeah, for sure. It's notable. It's not always like a bright line rule you have to top it, but I think in this scenario for a 24-year-old player in a really stagnant market, that is kind of the big takeaway. If I'm the Bears, that's why I'm selling it to myself, is the way we look at for a market reset. When people say that, often they just mean like a guy's making 20, now a guy's making 21. To us cap nerds, a true market reset often is what's the record for the percent of the salary cap at signing? So compare your APY, your average annual value, to the cap. Let's just make it simple. $20 million on a $200 million salary cap. You have 10% of the cap at signing. So you could argue, and the record is about 10.1% from Jalen Ramsey, that'd be $25 million a year, right? Or more than that, almost $26 million a year. So from that perspective, the Bears kept it around 7.5% of the current cap. So yeah, like it's not a market reset in any way, shape, or form.
Listen, at the end of the day, too, what Brad's teeing up are the percentages. That's really all that matters, because you're talking about managing the cap. How much of a percentage is he getting? And it seems, you know, and I'm seeing it all in the comments here, that it's win-win, King Poles, win for the Bears. And I'm not going to push back on that. I think this is, he was in a position where the Bears didn't want to let him go. Jalen had at least a decent amount of leverage here. They played this out as far as they possibly could. And now that you look at the percentage of the cap, I think overall, sure, he should have gotten this done earlier, but in the end, I still think it works out for the Bears, as we're underlining.
Brad, I want to ask you this, because I don't know. Last week's all running together. I can't remember if we talked to you after we realized Christian Wilkins might be available or not. But the Bears have now allocated big contracts to the D-line, the linebacker group, and the secondary. So they've addressed all three levels of this defense with big money. This is an offensive league. How, if you're Ryan Poles, how do you factor in big position in need, potential superstar player to fill that premium position with Christian Wilkins. But as you're trying to put the piece of pie all together, can you allocate that much more money, a fourth big contract, to the defense?
I think it'd be tough because I think Christian Wilkins is getting, you know, more than Quinnen Williams at this point. I think you're looking like 4 years, $100 million for Christian Wilkins because there's just going to be so many bidders on the open market. Like, I know he's older. He's probably 3 years older than him. But all those early extensions last year, Jeffrey Simmons, Quinnen Williams, you know, all of those, Jerron Payne, et cetera, et cetera. You know, like, they just were a little bit underwhelming to me. And I think it also just spoke to the leverage the team had. In this scenario, Wilkins is going to hit the market. I don't think Chris Jones is going to hit the market also. And so he's going to be the bell of the ball next week from my perspective. So I think they can spend. I still would like them to spend on the defensive line in some capacity, whether it's edge rusher or interior. I just don't think it can be that top of market guy.
If we're going to play devil's advocate, then, Brad, with Wilkins being available, which wasn't, you know, at least 100% expected, would you have done the deal that the Bears did?
Wait, the Jalen deal or which?
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. I think you have to keep your player in house. And look, you know, they have Andrew Billings and Javon Dexter to build off of. I'm not saying either of those guys in the stratosphere of Christian Wilkins, but to me, I want pass rush. Like, I feel good about the run defense. The run defense is very, very good. And I'm not saying Wilkins isn't a capable pass rusher. He is. His role in Miami wasn't always to do so. And last year he had more production there, had his highest, you know, pass rush win rate for us in a while. But it's not like it's the staple of his game. There's a reason. It's probably the reason why he's not a Miami Dolphin, right? So that's the thing for me. If we're talking about, you know, a Justin Madubuike or another player who's more predicated on that skill set, I think it's a different conversation.
Yeah, real quick, Adam, in terms of the way that Ryan Poles negotiates, you know, these contracts, whether it's Roquan Smith or David Montgomery, now Jalen Johnson, what kind of grade would you give Ryan Poles in the way he approaches these contract negotiations?
Yeah, I think they are very, very strict and hold to their numbers. And obviously, you know, there can be issues. You can have Jalen Johnson requesting a trade in the middle of the season. And again, maybe... Again, I don't know the numbers, but maybe they could have given in earlier and we're sitting here and it's a different conversation because Jalen signed for, I don't know, 18, 17 a year instead of 19. But I think overall it is good to really believe in your values. And I think it's not just Ryan Poles. I think there's a ton of faith in Matthew Feinstein in this front office and what he views the market values for these players. And again, you don't want to be too strict. And I always come on the show and I'm mean to the former regime, but we also saw what it was like when they just like didn't care about value and just get a deal done, whatever it costs. And it often did not work out too well.
Yeah. Brad, thank you so much for jumping on short notice here with us. I know our listeners and viewers really appreciate the insight. And if there's one account you should be following over the next week or 2 weeks or so, it's Brad Spielberger at PFF underscore Brad. Thanks, man.
Thank you, guys.
All right. There he is, Brad Spielberger, with definitely knowledge we could not have given you here. Mm-hmm. When it comes to cap nerd, is I think that's what he called himself. I'm all about cap nerds.
I mean, I had all that information. I just figured Brad would, you know, throw him a bone, let him, you know, try it out, talk a little salary cap. I mean, typically that is my expertise.
I was going to do the same thing. I've been all over percentage of cap and you know, AAV is something that I read about every night when I go to sleep. But thank you to Brad for just, you know, doing it in the professional manner that he did. Good day for the Bears team. Is anybody, you know?
Well, I haven't had a chance to react yet. I just think it's, you know, it further proof that Carm had no idea what he was talking about on Tuesday's show. The franchise tag gets the deal done.
Okay. I want to push back on you right now and everybody in the chat. All I said was sign the damn ass dude, which is what they did. So I say point me.
No, they held firm and then Jalen's camp got in. You wanted to throw more money in there. You were wrong.
Okay, fine. Poles played it better than me. Fair. Good. Tip of the cap to Poles. No problem. My general point was get it done, and they did. So maybe Poles did it better than I would have done it. Credit Ryan Poles. Fair enough.
And to be honest, we don't necessarily know the, you know, what exactly it changed here. But it seems like Brad, and I saw his tweet, that it seems like the Bears held firm and good for them. And I think, like, here's honestly one of my first reactions. I think this is good for the locker room. I always wonder about this stuff. And look, you had, we talked about this when they made the Montez Sweat trade. Going back to the Roquan trade last year and how that shook things up and, you know, what kind of taste that left in the locker room. They bring different linebackers in, but that worked out. Okay, so there's some credibility. It still worked out. then they bring in Montez Sweat. And we all remember that week we were talking about if they pay Montez, what is that? Here's Jalen Johnson. I've been in the room. I've been grinding away. I didn't get, where's my money? But they bring in this new guy and they pay him, right? Well, it's all said and done. Everyone got their deals. And on top of that, Jalen unquestionably is making more now than if he had signed the deal back then. So they were willing to reward the progress and the improvement that he made throughout the season as well. So I think like all, whatever the messaging is here throughout the organization, and Cole Kmet got his deal earlier in the year too. If you perform and you're a good fit, and you're a good teammate, like they're going to reward you. So I whose dog was that?
It was
that
Nick.
That was Brady. There are some ducks in the pond. Brady.
What are you talking? There's ducks on the pond?
Ducks.
ducks on the pond.
To that point about Montez Sweat and how that all went down in the trade deadline, I mean, what do you guys think? What is Jalen Johnson going to be getting Montez Sweat as a gift here for helping him out with this contract? It's got to be something pretty nice.
Guys, speaking to the locker room, like what Adam was just saying, I'm just on my Instagram right now. Braxton Jones just posted a video of Jalen Johnson after he threw the money up after the pick six. Mm. We saw Cole Kmet, LFG for Jalen Johnson. Jaquan Brisker's gone on social media being excited about the move. I think it does speak volume that they were able to get this deal done. That's going to resonate. Like, again, what you were saying, Adam, if you perform, we'll figure out a way to make things work and you get rewarded. Jalen Johnson bet on himself and look the season he had, and now look the deal that he has right now. So I think this was ultimately what the Bears wanted, what Jalen Johnson wanted, and it ended up working out. But you can just see his teammates are loving that Jalen Johnson is now going to be a part of the team for long term.
I can address that super chat that was just on the screen from Bob Dabrowski in terms of cash spending versus cap spending, because remember, you can spread out the cap numbers with signing bonus. So you're still paying money up front. You're actually spending that cash, giving Jalen Johnson, you know, that upfront money, but then the cap gets spread out. So that's just one example of one player, but that's why cash spending higher than the cap, actual cap number.
Please read the last part of that chat, which is the most important part of that chat.
By the way, shout out to Bob. Bob's the best, and it should also be pointed out that he goes $15.69, which is nice. He says Carm's hair is the best so far today.
That's right. And that's right. Bob.
Statement there.
So clearly, Bob is blind.
Bob's doing a good job. All right, so staying on track, just one thing that Nick just said. Sorry that I had to underline that because I'm immature. Look, the locker room. Jalen earned the respect that he got in there. And the fact that these guys are celebrating him is cool. It's I know this is the NFL and not college, not high school and all that, but there is, you know, some level of collegiateness to that Bears locker room. And the fact that these guys are happy for their guy, I'm not saying that means they're going to win the Super Bowl next year, go to the playoffs or anything, but I do think it has some level of coolness / importance and period that Jalen just earned it because he's been a great teammate. So I love seeing it.
Well, I mean, and you just look at it from a standpoint of how integral secondary is in the NFL. And, you know, that's a premium position as far as getting paid. And look at what you have in that secondary now. With Jalen Johnson for the next 4 years, Tyreek Stevenson for the next 4 years, Kyler Gordon for the next 3 years, Terrell Smith, you know, also for the next 4 years. You've got some real depth there, quality depth. And so that's a really good place to be. I mean, if you look at the Kansas City Chiefs and the secondary they had that won them a Super Bowl here last year, you got to have that to have a lockdown defense. I think that goes without saying, but should be underlined.
And it's interesting to see where Jalen Johnson falls on the list of corners right now. So we look at the top cornerback contracts by annual average value. And this is an interesting thing because that Jair Alexander number at the top, $21 million, that's not a new deal. And typically with the way the NFL is going, you see the next guy gets the next high, you know, the next guy gets to be number one, then the next guy gets to be number one. They keep going up and up and up, and especially with the salary cap going up as much as it has, we're not really seeing that right now. So Denzel Ward, number two, Marshawn Lattimore, number three, Marlon Humphrey, number four, and Trayvon Diggs, number five. And if I was paying attention to Brad properly, he said number six, right, for Jalen Johnson is where he would be. So, and by the way, I think that's right. You know, and I think we got to applaud Jalen a little bit too, where he said a couple different things. I think we have a quote here too, that Jalen Johnson said on 670 Score at one point, which was, after this year, you can't say I can't cover at a high level. You can't say that I can't take the ball away. You can't say that to me, that I can't tackle. Realistically, what is it I can't do that deserves top pay? That was Jalen Johnson talking about why he deserved top of the market contract, and one of his hits was 670 to score. But I also remember an earlier hit he did, I think around the time of the trade deadline, when he requested a trade, and he said something like, I'm not asking for the highest number. So mm-hmm. I think he was willing to compromise here a little bit too, because he wasn't asking for the highest number. Maybe he was by the time the season ended, but he was willing to come down and understand that I'm not going to be the number one AAV. Maybe it's the shoulders. Maybe it's the fact that, like, while he hasn't played all 17 games in any season too. So there's, and the success he had towards the end of this past season, it's kind of been the peak. He's been great. Don't get me wrong. He's been a very good player, but he went next level, and that's mm-hmm. still sort of a small sample size in the overall career. You're hoping that continues, and at his age, it should, which is another reason why I think the Bears did a good job to get this done. But I just want to give Jalen Johnson some credit too, because you know, he's getting a really nice contract here, but I think both sides are making out pretty well.
Look, I get that business is business, but I also want to underline at times here that reality is reality, and we're living in a crazy world where, and I think that any athlete who makes it to this level should get every last cent that they're it's got coming to them, because it's so damn competitive and so hard to do, and all the props. But if I'm Jalen and you're offering me what is insane money, and I'm also living in some level of reality that at the end of the year, my shoulder basically fell off. Do I want to try to squeeze out whatever more I can get versus I know without an ounce of any doubt, unless I'm the biggest moron on the planet, I will never have to think about money again in my life. I mean, it's a pretty sweet position to be in when you're 24 years old. So he earned this. And I give credit to guys who will negotiate, but also at the end of the day, like, think about the impact this is going to have on you. And Jalen should be sleeping awful well tonight.
Do you think the cornerbacks in the league look at this contract and almost feel like, you know, Jalen, like we were kind of just talking about, the next guy always kind of bumps up that annual average. Obviously, Jalen did not do that, but, you know, when these guys come to that opportunity, when they can get that next big payday, I mean, that's what they're kind of striving to do, right? Obviously, continue getting the money up for the position so that next guy can continue to get paid. Do you think the cornerbacks in the league look at this like, oh, man, like, yes, it worked out for you, maybe for the Bears. It looks like a good deal on both ends. But for us in general, it didn't help us move that money in, like, the position group's way.
But that's why I wanted to point out that, like, that might already be – that precedent might have actually hurt Jalen here, like, because – that hasn't been the case the last few deals. You know, I'd have to go back and look when that Jair Alexander deal was, but that wasn't recently.
Well,
so it's kind of been that way. And oh, by the way, he's getting $28 million over the next 12 months, according to Jeremy Fowler. So, if I was sitting there on Tuesday and I got the tag put on me and I'm like, okay, I'm going to get a little pay bump this year, but 28 million guaranteed if I just give in just a little bit here. I think I could sign up for that.
Sounds like
hopefully Brandon Spano wasn't listening to that part.
28 million guaranteed. I know that's simplifying it, But I mean, come on, man. You just got $28 million coming to you this year. That is a good person to be. I do, you know, looking forward here as far as the Bears are concerned and back into the reality of the football world, how they spend their money going forward. I mean, it's now it is starting to get a little trickier because all the money that they had out, you know, available, there's still flexibility here, but now you're really kind of boiling it down to, you know, what are you going to prioritize the rest of the way? Or so it'll be super interesting to see which direction Ryan Poles chooses to go. And they spent, you know, a decent chunk on bringing not huge money, but they spent decently on Ryan Bates too. To bring in a backup offensive lineman.
And you have to expect one of those positions they are going to address in free agency is wide receiver. May not be with one of the top wide receivers on the market, but you almost have no choice when you look at the amount of draft picks they have, the uncertainty of, you know, where a potential trade for Justin Fields will fall, and in a room that has very little depth in it in the wide receiver room. So you got to think that's a position they're going to have to attack and might be their top priority, even over, you know, the trenches, as much as that is an importance. But as far as expenditure, you might be able to get a little more bang for your buck, you know, at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, it's just I that's why I asked the question to Brad about Christian Wilkins. As much as I'd like to see them add, and it kind of seems like that would be the last piece that you really want to spend big money on the defense. You know, four big contracts on that side of the ball, just they start to add up. However, I will say this, if you're resetting the quarterback clock,
that's where you
can start to do those types of things. That's the luxury of having potentially a Caleb Williams on a brand new rookie deal. Maybe four big money signings on defense is something you can make happen. We know they can make it happen. It's what does this look like? What does it project down the road when you also factor in what they might spend on offense? And by the way, they need to spend more on offense because that's really the side of the ball that needs to get a lot better here in a hurry.
But that's the Seahawks model, what you're explaining. When they won a Super Bowl, they had Russell Wilson on a rookie contract and the Legion of Boom and a lot of high paid players on that side of the ball that made their defense pretty tough to score on. So that might be the way they're trending right now. I'm sure Matt Eberflus is a happy man.
I mean, if you're building a team right now too, like, especially with like a rookie quarterback, I think every team can actually like speak to this, but you want to have a really good defense, a running game that you can rely on, then your quarterback, a rookie, to come in and kind of feel this game out. And it's better to have these premium players that are paid at these positions like the Bears currently have at all three levels to not only make it more comfortable for a rookie quarterback coming in, but you can compete. Like, I think these contracts also say like the Bears think that even with a rookie quarterback, they should be a competitive football team. You're paying these guys big time money and they won seven games last season, should have won a little bit more with those close ones, but you're paying these guys big contracts. Even if a rookie quarterback comes in, the expectation should be that this roster can compete because you're starting to keep and sign players to these big deals. So I think that's also, as you're looking at this Bears team going into 2024, that should be the expectation because they're going to continue to add and add more of these big time players.
I want to give everybody a chance for final thoughts. This is not going to be a long version of our normally hour plus long, sometimes almost 2 hour show. We already did one of those today, so you make sure you go check that out. It's on the podcast feed and, of course, here on the CS Show YouTube channel as well. We'll be back tomorrow for a full podcast back at noon on Friday. So this is sort of a shorter emergency pod. Real quick before we do kind of our final thoughts, maybe go around the horn on that. I know we have some super chats we need to get to and address before the show ends. Any order you want to throw them up is good with me, Steven. We got Russell G, $14.99. I don't know the currency on that.
That's Australian pound sterling dollars.
Are you sure?
No.
Because it kind of looks like as $14.99.
Yep.
Maybe close to something else. Yeah. I'm going to take any win I can get with Chicago, Russell says. And honestly, this feels like a pretty big win. There you go. Bears fans happy about this one, as they should. I think the Duke is up next. $499. Does Duke know that someone else dropped the $500 super chat today? I don't know if he knows that. I'm just saying.
Dude, that was the Duke's cousin. The Duke knows. The Duke gave him the money to make that chat.
Duke, there's a ghost man throwing around $500 a night. He was in the Blackhawks chat too. And, you know, I know you're a man of competition. We can't let this guy take you down.
And he's ranting about Rex Grossman.
Yeah.
The Duke says, wonder how the players' tweetings will look after they trade Justin Fields. Yeah.
That will be a bunch of emojis.
That will be very interesting. We got Cliff, $499. Great news for both JJ and the Bears. This is pound sterling, by the way. Pound sterling, dollars, Australian. Great news for both JJ and the Bears. Big piece locked up on the D. Now trade Fields and commit to Caleb. Roll on the draft. Much love from the United Kingdom. That's not.
Wow, Hogue. Wow, Hogue. It's a good job on that flag right there by you. I thought you were going to mess it up.
I thought it was the Australian flag when we were at the Super Bowl.
That's what I was going to say. That's what I wanted to bring that up. That's what Braggs thought. He saw the Australian flag and thought it was the British flag, but it was not. T-Fly Shy. Oh, that wasn't a super, but yeah, 2,000 people up in here. We appreciate you guys. Thank you, Brian, for being one of those 2,000.
That's right. Hit that like button while you guys are hanging out for show number two today. Might even have show number three tonight. You never know. Got to stay on our toes here.
We do. Bring your laptop wherever you go. Carm, no tennis for you.
Yeah. Listen, this is show three for me today. Check out the Al Harris pod. Al Harris is going to be on the CHGO Bears thing. The guy had some straight Justin Fields takes, Hogue, that you would enjoy. Yes, that's correct.
I'll listen to it.
No, you don't need to listen to it. He's coming on CHGO Bears one of these days. You're going to enjoy talking ball with Al. That's what's happening. Yes. Okay. But the point that as you're asking for final thoughts here, look, I was quite vociferous the other day. Pay your good players. What are you waiting for? I know you have your number, but get the deal done. And I quite frankly think that Ryan Poles was listening to the pod. And he said, you know what? Karm was right. I should just get this thing done. And that's what he did. He listened to me, and the deal's done. So my final thoughts is that everybody should come in here and thank me for this deal getting done. I think I was the reason that it got done so fast. You're welcome. Thank you. Yours truly, the Karm.
Karm wants apologies already. He wants credit. He wants...
He really just
wants a hug is what he wants, I think.
I'm the shadow GM, as Aaron Hunt is putting it out there. I am the guy. I didn't mean to come clean, but you know, listen.
I think Jalen Johnson saw that you were like, hey, pay Jalen whatever he wants. And Jalen was like, you know what? That was so nice of Karm. I'm gonna come down a little bit because of Karm's generosity.
That's right. That's what happened. You guys are all confused as to how this got done so fast. I think it's pretty damn obvious.
Yeah. Well, thanks for telling us earlier before we all left the studio and got stuck in traffic when the deal got made there, Mr. GM. You could have given us a better heads up. Eli Sherman, $9.99. Hogue, to your point, I don't think they hesitate to pay Wilkins if interested. They signed 49 and 53 last year. Of course, Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards last year. People were surprised it was an O-line. Polls said that is where they saw talent in free agent, and then they attacked it. I think we are seeing sort of a hybrid mixture of mostly leaning towards premium positions and placing more weight on that. But if the right player is available at the right price at a different non-premium position at the right time, he's not afraid to do it. Now, in this case, Christian Wilkins is playing well. Depending on your scheme, I think for the Bears and what they're doing, I would consider that three technique a premium position, and I would consider him a premium player at that position. Mm-hmm. So, I go back to, you don't have to pay your quarterback. That's the type of thing you can do, is throw around a little bit extra money on the defense that maybe some other teams are available or can at the same time. Nick, you want to give us your final thought on all this?
Yeah, I think it's just a really good that not only that the Bears and Jalen Johnson were able to come to an agreement here and lock him up long term, because I think that's ultimately what they both wanted when they went into this process. And it's good to see that this defense is not going to take a hit. They're going to have their star corner, and that allows the Bears defense to really be the best version of themselves in 2024. Also, the locker room, I think, sees that too. So you do your stuff on the football field, you'll get rewarded afterwards. Ryan Poles has showed that. So it was good that they were able to get to this agreement, and now we don't have to sweat it and wait. Because if this would have dragged on, it would have been training camp holdout, mini camp holdout. That's not happening. Jalen Johnson's locked up long term, and now the Bears can move on to their next big thing.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's an exciting time. I think the last couple of years was, you know, Ryan Poles and the organization building the foundation that they talk about a lot. And now, you know, bringing in a guy like Montez Sweat, signing Jalen Johnson to a four-year deal, the moves to potentially come here in the offseason. Now we're starting to build up the house here and see where this is going to go. This is the biggest offseason in Chicago Bears history in a lot of ways. Last year felt like it, and now this year is kind of really up the ante, and it's exciting for any Bears fan to kind of watch unfold. I know we're all kind of waiting on the quarterback decision, so we'll just have to stay tuned. I'm sure things are going to happen here real quick in that regard as well. So, you know, make sure you're following here at CHGO Sports and CHGO Bears. Become a diehard. Go to allchgo.com/diehard. And when you sign up, you get a free shirt right out the gate, and you get some exclusive access to some of our content, like Adam Hoge's newsletter that he puts out weekly, and our Bears 100 draft guide. That's going to be, you know, something that keeps you up to date in a database that keeps you in tune from the Bears' point of view of the draft here leading up to April 25th. So we're what, 49 days away from the NFL draft. And we all understand all the moves that have to be made. This is one of the big ones, and he's already got it knocked out. When this could have dragged out, this contract negotiation could have gone all the way into training camp, all the way through the summer. Ryan Poles doing his thing. For somebody that's been an advocate to say trust in Ryan Poles, I think he's continually showing, you know, he's not perfect. He's not batting 1,000. No GM's going to bat 1,000. But from what I've seen here so far as a GM, he's doing a damn good job. So I'm excited that he's our GM.
Couple last things here I'll leave you with. I know we got a couple of supers that just popped in here as well, but the Bears did make this deal official. And in a statement, Bears general manager Ryan Poles saying, quote, "We're extremely excited to be able to keep Jalen here for the next 4 years. He's an integral part of our defense, and his leadership will help our team continue to ascend." Bears also saying that Jalen Johnson will be made available to the media on Monday. So got that to look forward to. Jalen Johnson will speak to the media on Monday, which is interesting because Monday is the start of free agency and might be an interesting time there, Nick, to be inside the walls of Hell's Hall. I don't know if you can hack into some phone lines while you're there. Just saying. Yeah. I think you can do that. We got a new super chatter here. Butthead,
my guy,
1985. Oh, Kevin Butler.
There we go.
Did I do that right? 1985, Kevin Butler. Did I figure out the puzzle?
Yeah.
So what do you think about Josh Jacob rumors? Want him, worth it?
We can talk about that.
Super chat. I will summarize. First of all, I'm going to point you to today's show earlier today, because we did a whole longer, like probably 7 to 8 minute discussion on Josh Jacobs in the first segment. We went through a bunch of different running back spots. So I would encourage you to go listen to that or watch that for more, for the full analysis on that. But at the end of the day, Steven, our producer, trumped everybody and said, hell no.
I'm sticking to it.
Yeah.
3.5 yards per carry, career low. I'm not on that. Only 10 broken tackles all last season. I'm not buying it.
There it is. So, but there was a much more longer nuanced discussion on Josh Jacobs in that discussion earlier.
Seth Crane, $10 super chat. Now let's get DJ for 2 more years. He wants to keep throwing that money around. All right, Seth.
Well, at some point,
everyone's going to address
that. And then our chat of the day from Dave Chadwick in the chat. Carm is a hideous troll compared to Nick.
I'm glad you felt the need to put that on there.
That wasn't even a super chat.
I just put it up.
Oh, no, you didn't.
I don't know how you knew that was coming right there. I'm sure you're not texting with Steven. I'm sure that you didn't have anything to do with that, you red face loser.
Oh, please hit the like button. Please subscribe. I have a feeling this is not going to be our last emergency podcast, maybe even this week, but certainly not next week. Who knows what's going to happen? We are going to be on call at all times, ready to go to bring it to you whenever the news breaks. We are also going to start at 11 a.m. on Monday to coincide with the start of the negotiating window. So you got that. We'll do an extra long show on Monday for you. And of course, back at noon. And it sounds like on top of that Monday, we'll also be covering Jalen Johnson's media availability at House Hall. So we'll have all of that ready to go. Thanks to Brad Spielberger for jumping on with us last minute to give us the insight with this Jalen Johnson deal right off the top. If you came in late and missed that, highly recommend going back, rewinding, watching the start of this. And of course, the podcast always available. Please check it out. Please rate and review the podcast if you listen that way. Please like and subscribe. Send these links off to a friend. Help us grow the channel. We really appreciate you doing that. Got a lot going on CHGO every single day. It's not just Bears. All of our Chicago sports teams represented hard. And so make sure you are subscribed to the channel and checking out all of that as well. Talk to you tomorrow at noon. Unless there's more news that we have to jump in and talk about an emergency podcast. Talk to you later.
We all silly like the mayor.